Join the powerhouse for legal education. Earn your JD, LLM, master's degree, or certificate from a top 100 law school. Residential and online programs available. Now accepting applications at law.unh.edu. Service time manipulation in the MLB has led to a grievance being filed by the Cubs' third baseman, Chris Bryant. Professor Mike McCann joins me to discuss. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Mike, before getting specifically into what is going on with Bryant, what is meant by service time in this situation?
Sure. So service time refers to the amount of time that a player is under contract with the team before he's eligible for free agency. And in baseball, service time is significant because a player needs to be on a major league roster for 6 years in order for him to become a free agent. And then he could get multiple teams to bid for him and offer him a lot of money. But baseball has requirements about what counts as service time in terms of how long do you have to be on a big league roster or on the injured list before it counts. So the argument here is that a player was not kept on the big league roster so that he is essentially stuck with the same team for an additional season. At least that's what the player's argument is.
6 years seems like a really long time. Is that because baseball players tend to be in the league a lot longer than, say, more aggressive sports like football?
Yeah, it is a long time, and some agents and players would certainly say it's too long. The flip argument is that it's an improvement over how historically baseball players and other pro athletes have been treated in terms of their employment rights. For years, there was something called a reserve clause where a team could keep a player in perpetuity, essentially, because at the end of every season, the team could decide to renew the contract. Kurt Flood, Marvin Miller, other historical figures played a key role in baseball allowing free agency, and that's through collective bargaining. But it is a long time. Now, of course, you could say for fans, they don't want to see players sort of as mercenaries, right? That they like players to stick around. It builds a fan base. I mean, look in Boston, right? With Mookie Betts leaving to the Dodgers, assuming the trade goes through, there are a lot of upset Red Sox fans because they're losing their favorite player. So, you know, free agency can cut both ways.
Now, Cubs third baseman Chris Bryant, what's going on with him?
So Chris Bryant is a player that's almost the perfect test case for the union over service time manipulation. Bryant was the number two pick of the baseball draft. He played extremely well in the minor leagues. He's a third baseman. He then had a terrific spring training in 2015. And everyone thought the Cubs would play him at the start of the season, but they chose not to. They chose to send him to the minors, and they kept him in the minors literally for enough time so that when he was called up, he could play in the maximum number of days with the Cubs, but not have it count as a season for service time. So the argument is that the Cubs really manipulated his service time so that they could keep him another year without him becoming a free agent. Now, the Cubs would say, look, playing well in spring training doesn't really mean much. There are a lot of minor league pitchers in spring training. Also, he needed to work on his defense, but that's a little bit undermined by the fact that they, just the timing of it, that they called him up to maximize the number of days that he was on the major league roster. So this was really a great case for the union, but they lost. We haven't yet seen the arbitrator's decision, but most likely at the end of the day, the Cubs had this right, and it's really, you could argue, the fault of the union that they haven't negotiated a better policy.
Yeah, and that brings up the fact that they're due to come up with a new contract with the MLB. The union is the end of next year, correct?
That's exactly right. Next December, they'll have to come up with a new deal, and there's some talk that this issue will come up. Though, honestly, AJ, this was an issue before, and they didn't change it in the CBA that came into existence in 2016. This isn't like a new issue. So that could lead one to think maybe this isn't as much of a priority for the union, in part because, you know, the union's run by veteran players who, if this happened to them, it's already done. The damage is done. They may be focused on other bargaining terms.
Might be more of a long-term problem, maybe with the next generation of the millennial players as they start getting to that level.
Yeah, and those players are going to have to get influence in the union for them to make this a topic. And also, this is really an issue that mostly affects star players, star young players. The vast majority of players, no one talks about this. It requires sort of a unique circumstance. And again, teams are going to say, this isn't manipulation. This is, we want players to stay in the minors until they're ready. We think that players have more seasoning, tend to do better in the big league. So it's a really interesting argument. It almost comes down to, is someone acting in bad faith? But it's often hard to prove that.
As Bryant, basically, are they going to bring this further with what's going on with how the arbitration went?
But Bryant will have to wait a year for free agency. Now, he's going to make a lot of money regardless.
Yeah.
He's not a victim. Not as if he's destitute. He'll still make a ton of money. But it's over, really. He lost, and he'll have to wait a year to become a free agent. The Cubs might trade him. There's a sense that he may not stay with the Cubs. It's kind of a similar fact pattern as the Red Sox with Mookie Betts, where the team clearly believed that he wasn't going to come back and they wanted to get something for him. Whether that played out the way it should have is certainly maybe a separate topic. But certainly Bryant is going to do well regardless, but he will have to wait a year for free agency. And honestly, 1 year is a big deal for a pro athlete. Very limited window of life to sort of ply their trade and be compensated well. Again, Bryant's going to do great no matter what, but a year to him is very different than a year to you or me.
What's the typical MLB player lifespan where they're playing with the league?
I've seen different numbers, probably 5-6 years in that arc. And some of the better players, of course, can last longer, but it's not a big part. It's not the majority of one's life by any means. And it's very different from how most of us sort of operate, right? We go to college, get a job, and we work till we're who knows when.
Right? Yeah. And that must make this an especially hard thing to really make a case for. I mean, it's such a small minority of very senior, very high level athletes, which are already the smallest percentage of very good athletes across the country. So it must be really hard to make that case, to make such a huge stink about for the MLB to deal with.
Yeah, and it's hard to prove bad faith. I think that's just right. That certainly the timing looks bad for the Cubs. The fact that they had him on the roster the maximum number of days before it counted as a season. If you know, a detective would say that's pretty indicative of what their intentions are. But the flip argument is that the Cubs can say they're not obligated to play someone in the major leagues. It's their discretion, and having the player work on his defense is advantageous before he goes to the big leagues.
And it'd be so much easier if there was like repeated abuse, but it doesn't seem like there's any pattern of behavior on behalf of the Cubs.
No, as far as we can tell, no. Now there are other players like Bryant with other teams over the last 5-8 years where this has come up. It's very similar. It looks like the team is keeping the player in the minor leagues for longer than maybe merits would indicate, but it's very hard to show that this is something that's super common, or B, that a team is acting in bad faith.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. See you next Thursday. More than 94% of our law grads get jobs in the open market within 10 months of graduation. That's better than Harvard and Yale. Join the powerhouse. Now accepting applications at law.unh.edu.